Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, the book of St. John, we're going to pick it up with chapter 20, verse 23 here in a moment. Christ has resurrected. He has visited the troops already at this time. And we'll just pick it up with verse 23. Self-explanatory, word of wisdom from our Father. Let's go with it. And Jesus continues saying, after he gives them, breathes the Holy Spirit upon them, his Spirit, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. In other words, when you feed the sheep and when you take the word forward, if someone repents before God, he forgives their sins. But if they reject you and will not hear the truth, then naturally they're going to answer for it. 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So he was a doubter, be that as it may, 26. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. This is what he brings to your mind. You know, receiving the Holy Spirit and following Jesus Christ and living his word as best you can, you're going to have peace. Because he'll take care of the rough edges that you can't, basically. There may be times you would be like maybe Thomas, doubt that a little bit. But what is 8 in biblical numerics? It's new beginnings. And here with the Holy Spirit with them, they are seeing a new beginning. And it is peace. Verse 27, then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless. Don't you be unbelieving, but believing. 28, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He knew it was him. I suppose Thomas had to see. And it's important to you today, in as much as it is new beginnings, that you're not going to see. But we walk by faith and not by sight. How precious it is to our Savior when you believe without having to touch Him, when you believe without having seen Him, but through faith you walk and not by sight. Verse 29, and Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. That's you. Again, you walk by faith and not by sight. You haven't seen, but you believe. Do you understand how that impresses our Father? I mean, it really causes His love to pour out toward you, that you believe His Word and the Spirit that He sent unto us. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And we know of several of them from other Gospels. 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's to say, Christos, the Anointed One, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through his name. He is Savior. That was His purpose. Up until the time of the resurrection was Jesus Christ, Savior of the people, Israel. And so it is. Chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. Verse 2, and there were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebulun, and the two other of his disciples. There were seven of them. That spiritual completeness. And make a note of that in your mind. We got spiritual completeness right here. Verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. He was a commercial fisherman before he was a disciple. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night, they caught nothing. I mean, they drew up an empty net. Verse 4, but when the morning was now come, breaking day, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Still a little distance there, 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. Now, I want to draw attention to meat, not milk. Not something that won't stick with you. The real thing that the Word brings. With spiritual completeness, you got meat, okay? Not milk. Milk is for babes, meat for good Christians. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. What does this mean to you? Always fish out of the right side of the boat. When you're fishing for Christians, that's where you're going to find them. Never fish left. Left tries to destroy the name of God, takes it out of our schools where the school children never hear the name of God. You're going to have mighty poor fishing there. It's all right to plant seeds there. If they grow, fine. If they don't, well, that's their problem. And these fish that don't accept, it's not a good story for them. Verse 7, Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, that's John, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, and he was naked. That's just simply put on the outer garment that they took off when they were fishing, and did cast himself into the sea. He swam ashore. Verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes, about 300 feet, and it was full. Verse 9, as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there. It's already there. Understand that. And fish laid thereon. Didn't need their fish. Christ had already arranged it. And bread. 10, and Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. In other words, add to this. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fish, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And this, you know, I can never help but say, when we first started broadcasting to satellite here from this location, we had to purchase a 33-foot dish. And it had a 5-foot hub in the center. And we were all amazed when we looked, and the serial number of that whole dish, uplink, was 153. We've been fishing with it for a long time. And it pulls in a lot of good fish, a lot of good Christians. Verse 12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Christ will always feed you if you'll take from his word. And none of the disciples just asked him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. You know, I can't help but take just a little side trip here and go to Matthew chapter 14. I'm sorry, I want 13 rather. Verse 47. Listen carefully. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. 48. Which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. Stay away from the left side of the boat. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In other words, you're not to judge people necessarily. God and the angels will take care of those that refuse him, that refuse to participate of the food that he provides. And how complete it is that he makes all these things possible for us. For those that walk by sight, by faith rather, those that walk by faith and not by sight. You didn't have to see him, but these words you believe because you know the report. And you know that that report is accurate. How precious the word of God to strengthen and to enable. And if you simply follow his instructions, this was a very important one, that you always fish out of the right side of the boat. And your catch will be good. Because ultimately, God and the angels, we're not judging, but a lot of them are not going to be with us. He's got a place for them. And as sad as that may seem, it's good riddance. If they will not adhere and love Almighty God, they have no business in the eternity. Now, returning to chapter 21, let's pick it up with the next verse, please. Verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. He will always feed you. I'm speaking spiritually here now. When you search and pray and seek spiritually, he will always, always make sure that you're well fed. He takes care of his pasture. He is the shepherd that takes care of his sheep. Verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Three is a very important thing. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, that 3 days is to remind of the 3 days Jonah spent in the whale's belly. The 3 days that Christ spent in the tomb. And yet, here he is, the third time for documentation to erase any doubt from hearsay. Verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He says unto him, feed my lambs. This becomes very important. It's the third day and third trip, but this is going, rather, the third trip. But it's also, he's going to say this 3 times. Don't ever forget the lambs. That's the new Christians that you reach when you teach. If you go, you know, some people feel, I've got to teach above people's heads so they realize how much I know about God's word. It isn't important how much you know. What's important is if you can reach the lambs or not. Why would he call Peter Bar-Jonas? The son of Jonas being converted, translated. Son of the dove. For wherever that dove is, there's the Holy Spirit, spiritually speaking. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. In other words, you feed the mature ones, the adults, Christian adults, and you feed them well. And here is the second witness and the second time. This will be done three times, and I'm just going to say, I'm not going to draw it out for you. But he will use the word philo once for love, which is brotherly love, like Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Well, philo is love of the family. The other two times the word love will be agape, very personal. 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? I mean, you know, he had denied him thrice. Peter had on the night he was crucified and the cock crew, remember? And I'm sure that this is coming back in his mind. Why three times is he asking me this? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, this is what the commission is about. The Great Commission is that you feed God's sheep. They're his children. If you have the truth, you need to share it. That is the duty of those that are able to plant seeds, to witness for him. And here he lets you learn a great deal from this chapter. The fact that it's new beginnings was 8 days later to start with. And he picked 7 of the 12, which 7 is spiritual completeness. And then the third time he appears to them. And 3 times out of that, he instructs Peter, who Peter will ultimately in Acts chapter 1 and 2 establish a church. 120 of them will be witnessing it. And it will grow from there, and it has ever since the beginning of time, until you can't count the Christians hardly around the world. They have pretty hard times, and the left will always come down on them. That's the way it is. Get ready for it. Satan will always come down on them. And many people that are unsuccessful are jealous of Christianity, and they will try to destroy it. They fear it, for fear it will take them over. And Christ can do exactly that. So when you have to shepherd the sheep, never forget the lesson we just were instructed from. First, feed the lambs. That's the tender ones. Speak on a level that they can understand. If they're hearing the first time the in-depth word of God, they will receive enough of the message that it will draw them to it. You'll be fishing. They'll take the bait, which is the Holy Spirit, and it will raise them. And then when you speak on a different level, the sheep themselves, those that are more mature, they appreciate even what is given to the lamb, because it instructs them how to reach lambs. And then he has sheep of another fold. And all sheep are to be fed from the word of God. Now, what many people forget, again, If you don't reach new people, your so-called ministry will die. You have to reach new people. That is God's order. That is His plan for the day. And therefore, you must reach the lambs, or you don't have growth. You're dead in the water. You're going nowhere. Why? Because you're not teaching the lambs, you're not teaching the sheep, and you're not teaching the other sheep. There is, God's children are a mass, and they are starving. What did He feed them? He fed them fish, which is what? Fish is the cipher, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. And that's what the term fish means when it's ciphered. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So that's what He's in the business of in this particular time, in the time that He walked the earth. He came as Savior. He's going to return a second time. And this time, He's not coming back as Savior. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will rule with the iron rod for those that need that instruction. So, it is ever, ever so very important to every lay person, to every preacher, every shepherd. What does a shepherd do? You know, Christ said, I'm the good shepherd. What is the duty of a shepherd? Well, it's to take care of the sheep. And it is to find good pasture for them. And good pasture is where the word pastor comes from. And to be a pastor, you got to have the good food. You've got to feed the sheep. You've got to feed the lambs. You've got to feed the other sheep. It all comes from what? Feed them the Word of God. Whereby even they, in the way you teach and the way you plant seeds, if you're a lay person, that seed is going to take. And if you reach just one, that's fantastic. You brought, what did he say back there? He said, those that... Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. When you plant a seed and it grows, they repent and God forgives them. But you had a bit of a hand in it. You're a worker in that field. So it's ever, ever important that you provide the pasture. That is to say, the truth from God's Word. Not traditions of men that make void the Word of God, but the Word itself. And the important thing is you feed meat. You can feed, listen to me carefully, you can feed meat even to a lamb. They're ready to come past the milk stage. As a matter of fact, it is the meat that will attract them. But you do it in a way that a lamb can understand. That is the gift that the Holy Spirit gives of teaching, pulling in the new and exploding a ministry whereby it reaches new people every day. And that's as it should be. On whatever level you're teaching, people long for truth. They're hungry. They don't want milk. They want meat. They want to know the truth. They care about what's in it for them. And they want that eternal life. Because without eternal life, it's going to be over with in short order. And how precious God's Word is that He makes all this possible. Let's go now, if we may, with the next verse, please. And we read in verse 18, Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. In other words, he's telling them here what kind of death they're going to die, that they have to plant the good seed now. But there will come a time when they must teach it in such a way that when they're dead and gone, that same truth will carry over, that there will be a seed there that will pick it up in that generation and take that word forth. Every generation has its calling, and so it is. That's what he's talking about here. What was he talking about? Verse 19 explains, "This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." Now, I'm sure that Peter was put through a lot. First off, a lot of people might say, well, I think he might have been a little bit of a wimp. I don't say that. He's the one that drew a sword and sliced the ear off of Malchus when they came to get Christ. There was nothing cowardly about him. And I feel that God speaks to us that even how macho you might be, that he wants to tenderize you whereby you can have compassion on the lamb, on the sheep, and the other sheep. That you want to draw them in. You want to lead them and guide them. And you lead and guide and teach in such a way that even if you're dead and gone, that word of God will continue on. There will be people trained in meat that can carry forth that truth and bring it, if you would, even to the world. That's why he said, follow me. That means do it my way. A lot of people, anytime you decide you're going to build a better mousetrap and you start delving into the traditions of men to work that into the word of God, you're a loser. He said, follow me. That means do it exactly as I tell you to do it. And so it is. Verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, leaned across to talk to him, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? In other words, when they both knew it was Judas that would betray, 21, Peter seeing him, this is John, okay? When Peter seeing him, John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Now get this lesson real good. 22, Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, don't you worry about what's going to happen to somebody else, what somebody else's destiny is. You stay focused on Christ. You walk by faith, not sight. But even in that faith, you stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't worry about what's going to happen to some other individual. God will take care of it. He said, if I decide to keep him around for 2,000 years till I return, I'll do it. That's none of your business. So Christ makes it pretty plain there. Don't butt into somebody else's business. Christ has his schedule. He has his plan. And follow him. Verse 23. Then went the saying abroad among the brethren that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, this is how gossip gets started. Okay. And there was actual that at one time Jesus would make the statement in this same book, there are be some of you standing here that will see the kingdom. That was the resurrection. He was the king then. That simply means they lived to see him walk the earth after the resurrection. But here they're talking about second advent. And he said, that's not what I'm talking about. Mind your own business. Stay focused. Verse 24. This is the disciple which testified of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. No, I'm John. I'm the one that he made the statement about. And I've written this book, the Gospel of John, because we know these things happen. They're exact and they are true. You can believe them. Verse 25. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. What is it that amen means? That's that. It's complete and it's finished. And John himself, excuse me, signing off with his signature that that's the way it is. And that's what you want to stay focused on, for it's what you do. It's how you serve that you, again, walk by faith, keeping your eye on the scripture and sharing when God gives you something so beautiful as truth. Don't put it under a bushel basket and hide it. Share it a little bit. God will let you make it known when you should plant a seed. Then see that you plant it. That's what Christ was talking about with John. That whatever he decided to do with him, it wasn't Peter's business. And so it is with you. Keep looking straight ahead. Keep plowing and plow deep. All right, Book of John. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Won't you do that? Just please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. We're not going to judge people. That's God's business, not ours. You stay focused on the Word and follow Him. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. And your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Got a prayer request? You don't need a number, don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He gives you a gift. It's a gift of spiritual discernment. So you know whether something is right or wrong basically when you hear it, because you know all you have to do is compare it to God's Word. And if it fits God's Word, fine. If it doesn't, out it goes. So use that gift and never be afraid to use it. And never be afraid, period. As Christ's message is every time he appeared, peace be to you. And let that peace reign supreme in your life. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, in question time, we're going to go with Olivia from Oklahoma. How do you know which religion is right? Whether it aligns with God's Word. You know, Christianity is really not a religion, it's a reality. It's life. And when you live that life, he gives you the order of the day, the plan for the day. You need to follow that as best you can. Naturally, he wants you to think for yourself and be able to reason things out. But it's real easy in this generation. You got so much funny and kooky stuff going on that it's not difficult to separate truth from fiction. So it's a simple answer. If it agrees with God's Word, then you might listen. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, you need to cast it out. Sonny from Oklahoma, how do you celebrate Passover? Well, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover. So how do we celebrate that? Well, like he told us to. We follow him. He said, you will come to the table of the Lord as often as you meet. That was Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles. And you will come to the Lord's table. And the height of the High Holy Day is taking Holy Communion, which actually is Christ's body that comes to the church. And what a blessing it is, for he is our Passover. Again, I'll repeat the scripture, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8. There is no other Passover, and he sure didn't say anything about Easter Bunny. If it's not in the Word, cast it out. Stay true to the living God. Okay, we got Dorothy from North Carolina. I remember your teaching about those of us on the right side of the Gulf, we will have to change to help our loved ones, to help our loved ones. We were in study on Wednesday night about, and I mentioned this, and I was told I've never heard of that. And I felt this would be the case, but I could not find where I interlined it. I know where it is, and I'll tell you. You'll find it in Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 20 through about 25. But what you have to remember is that at chapter 40 in Ezekiel, you go into the millennium. There's more about the millennium age written in the book of Ezekiel than there is the book of Revelation. From chapter 40 all the way to the end is what we do in the millennium. So you'll find it in Ezekiel 44. The just, Zadok, I'll use the word, the Hebrew word, so you understand. It means the just or God's elect. God's elect can go help a loved one. Bernard from Alabama. Can you briefly explain how a Christian observes the Passover? I want to stop participating in pagan holiday events. Well, we're coming up on that time. And again, you do it the way he said, when he said, follow me. And as it's written, I'll repeat it again. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8, Christ became our Passover. And he told us to participate of his body every time we met. That didn't mean every week. They met on Passover, Pentecost and Feast of Tabernacles, about three times a year, that you would partake of the holy sacraments. And what a wonderful thing it is when the family comes together and partakes of those precious body of Christ, healings and corrections and intercession for other people. Just things beautiful happen when you follow him on Passover. Deborah from Maine. Let me say also, on a Friday, we will be taking Passover on television so that people at home can have the ingredients there, whatever you're accustomed to, and take Passover with us via television. I'll keep you well posted. It will be sometime in the first week of April. Deborah from Maine, can you explain Zechariah chapter 1, verses 18 through 21? What is the four horns, and is it part of the coming days? Well, very much so. It's the altar, and the four horns is what Satan uses to try to overcome it. It is called by scholars the four hidden dynasties. And what are those four hidden dynasties? Number one, political. Number two, financial. Number three, educational. And last but not least, the fourth is religion. Satan uses religion in a big way. That's what he tried to tempt Christ with, was religion. But that is to say scripture. Only he's quite a scripture lawyer. He twisted the scripture and made a lie out of it. But why? Because he is a liar and the father of it. Kevin from Arkansas. When Satan walked to and fro on the earth in the book of Job, could people in flesh bodies see him? And will we be able to see him when he gets kicked out of heaven? Yes, absolutely. He makes the appearance and claims to be Christ. You must realize, man is made in the exact, and I do mean exact, image of what we are in spiritual bodies. And the only thing is, flesh bodies age, spiritual bodies don't. Okay, but he is quite a looker. Christ let you know that in Ezekiel chapter 28. And many people that are untrained are going to think he is the true Christ, because he claims to be. That's why he's called instead of Christ, or Antichrist, which the word anti in the Greek means instead of. So he will play that role that he always has wanted to. That was his first sin, was to want to sit on the mercy seat, which is the seat of Christ. But he's not Christ, he is Satan. John from Arkansas, Pastor Murray, a good while back a woman wrote in about her dead baby, and you told her when she gets to heaven, she will get to finish raising her baby. Just the other day, another woman wrote in with a question similar, and you told her everybody would be as adults in heaven. You told her something about that is an image we were created in, and that is correct. We lost a baby at 2 years old, and we are very curious to know which it will be. Well, what I told the woman is she will recognize her baby, and it will be, she will recognize it. To say she would raise it, she will be able to love it, love him or her, and spend time. But when we are in spiritual bodies, we are all the same age, and that's good. God loans us children, and they're with us, but they belong to him, but we will still see them. Again, Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 20 through 25 that I earlier stated, It'll help you with that. Barbara from Missouri, what do you mean the blood of war came before the apocalypse? When you said this, I became very confused about your previous statement that we would not be at war nor attacked here in the States. Well, that's true, but you're not following. Armageddon and Hemingog, those wars before the apocalypse, God fights those, we don't. And God fights the enemy, not us. He loves us. But he fights the enemy and shows them, they teach there's no God. So how best can God prove to an atheistic nation that he is real? By whomping them. And I mean big time. They're going to know there's a God when they see him and he scorches their feathers big time. He wants them to know he's real. Wayne from West Virginia, if the Antichrist is going to be here 5 days before Passover, how can that be the time of the locust is May through September? Well, it's different times in different parts of the country. Seasons run different. Okay, so usually everything is based on Jerusalem. So you kind of have to go by there. But the main thing is, he didn't say exactly they would come then. He gave that as an example. But I don't care if he came in the middle of the winter. Don't let it deceive you. He said, because he's going to come as a thief in the night. Meaning, you don't know when it is. If you knew when the thief was coming, you would have met him at the door and fixed his wagon. But you don't know when the thief in the night comes. And that's what Christ... Don't get a fixed date in your mind. But when he gives something pretty specific, as 5 or 6 days before Passover, then you want to pay pretty close attention to it for signs and seasons. Lane from California, was Jesus active in the Old Testament? Of course he was. He's the living Word, and the Old Testament is the Word. When you read Genesis, even chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter of the Bible, the word "and," as you see it there, mean "and the Spirit." He was that Spirit that moved on the water. He was that Spirit that moved on this, that, and the other. That word "and" is used in almost every verse. It's called a polysyndeton, which means it says a great deal more than is written. Christ was there. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. John chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me, Lane from California. Can the word "Lord" in the Old Testament be translated as Jesus or God? There are exceptions to the rule, but normally your thumb of the rule is if you see "Lord" written out all in uppercases, every letter is uppercase, then the manuscripts are Yahweh, okay, which is the name he told Moses to call him. Now there are, you have the manuscripts of Adonai. You have the El meaning God, E as manuscripts, and so it is. So what I'm saying is as a general rule to simplify it. Maybe it's an oversimplification. No, it's not. Anytime "Lord" is in all uppercase, it means Yahweh. That's most important to know. Eleanor from Michigan, what Bible do you teach from? I teach from a standard King James. That isn't what I research from, but it's what I teach from because that's what everybody basically has. all in all. I teach against the newer translations that evidently somebody's monkeyed with. It's any student can tell that pretty quick. And so stick to a standard King James, whereby you have proofs, whereby it gives you, the English reader, the opportunity to go into the languages, Aramaic, Hebrew, or Greek, as it is utilized in the Word of God. A Strong's Concordance will do that, and it will even identify the word, whether it be Aramaic, Hebrew, or Greek. Kathy from Arizona, thank you for your teachings. It has changed my life. My question is about the evil in this world. What is the best way to endure it? Well, to stay in the Word. And the thing is, God will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you follow His path, He will protect you as long as you use common sense. And when you know where the evil is, avoid it. I highly recommend, Kathy, that you make a note of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Carol from Washington, I have been told that you should not pray to Jesus, but that our prayers should be to our Heavenly Father. I would like to know if this is true, because I do pray to Jesus a lot. Thank you. Well, you go by what Jesus taught us. You follow Him. What did He say? In the book of Matthew, they asked Him, the disciples did, how do we pray? And He said, you pray thusly, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, and it will ultimately. He's coming to earth. But always when you make that prayer to our Father, signify and ask for it in Christ's name. So you're using both, but when you ask in Christ's name, you are giving credentials that you are a Christ man or Christian. And that makes the prayer a lot more interesting to our Father. Christy from Nevada. My son-in-law does not believe in Christ. What is the best way to talk to him without getting into an argument? Well, sometimes all you can do is live the Word and let that be an example to him. Because he sees that you're blessed. And he, sooner or later, will maybe want some of those blessings. You can plant a seed, but you can't make it grow. God can make it grow. So you might do an intercessor prayer that God will touch him and cause him to hear and see the real truth. But It is not your responsibility to ensure that he is converted. All you can do is plant a seed. It is God that makes it grow. Terry from Texas. Where can I find the scripture that says, when I was a child, I spake as a child? Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I was mature, then I spake as a man. That was Paul saying, we're all babes in Christ at one time. But don't stay that way. Mature by absorbing the Word of God. Rebecca from Oklahoma. When we die, where do we go exactly? You go to paradise. This is made so clear and simple in Luke chapter 16, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Paradise is explained to the letter. There's a gulf in the middle of it that you can't cross. Meaning, if you're one of those bad fish that went to that side, That's the wrong side. You can't go where God's people are. You have to stay there until the millennium. And many might say, well, why would he send them to heaven? Well, because God is judge, and that's where he is. Wherever he is, heaven is. He's not going to send them to hell without a judgment. Okay? And the white throne judgment doesn't come until the end of the millennium. So a lot will be taught in the millennium, whether people like it or not. Pauline from D.C., I lost my husband in May, and it has been hard to get over. Will it get better? What can I do to make it better? Well, it's to know where he is. To know that God loves him. And make a note of Ecclesiastes, which we're going to be teaching soon, chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. He's with the Father, and he's happy. Be happy for him. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word. Most of all, God loves you for it. When you read the letter he has sent to you, it makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. You can count on it. That's the way he operates. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed.